Well, you can take your Bibles. We are going to be in the book of Proverbs today. And just as you're grabbing a Bible, and I'd encourage you to take the red pew Bible, if you don't have your own Bible with you, to follow along. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, looking mainly at verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and some of the surrounding context as well. That's on page 557 of that pew Bible. And just as you're turning there, you may notice these lovely flowers here to my right. And yesterday, we had the memorial service for Kathy Harris, one of our dear members who is with Jesus now. But it was a really encouraging service, just with the sharing, the testimonies as well. And Pastor Dave recorded it. It was not live streamed, but he did record it, and it is, I believe, on our Rowandale YouTube. Yes, it is on our Rowandale YouTube channel. So you can check that out, and I would encourage you to do that. I think I said starting a series in Proverbs, but really we're resuming a study in Proverbs because I don't know if any of you remember, but we were in Proverbs about 5 years ago. Does anybody remember that? Okay. And what you're going to find is that this sermon that I'm preaching is suspiciously familiar to another sermon that I preached about 12 years ago. So this is not even the second time that we're in Proverbs. But I always love going back to Proverbs. And one of the things that I love about Proverbs is that it has 31 chapters. And there are usually 31 days in the month. And so if you ever want to kickstart your Bible reading or restart your Bible reading, you can read one chapter of Proverbs and just start whatever day of the month it is, start in that chapter. So what is it? May what today? May 12th. Thank you. Start in Proverbs 12, and then you just cycle all the way through until you get to the next month at chapter 12. And that's something that I've done with my family as well around the dinner table. We just, whatever day of the month it is, we read from that chapter of Proverbs. I love Proverbs because it is a book of wisdom. And Proverbs is unique in the Bible in its approach to communication. Charles Spurgeon once said that men love plain speech. And I think he would include the women in there as well. There's something about the pithy way that Proverbs puts things that is so memorable, right? It's like nails that can be hammered into our brains that we don't easily forget. We use Proverbs all the time in our, you know, contemporary context, right? Like, for example, beggars can't be choosers. That's a proverb. Or better late than never. Or don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today, for some of you keeners. For the rest of you, don't do today what you can put off till tomorrow, right? Some of you identify with that. Well, those are proverbs that are helpful for us in some ways, but the book of Proverbs is not just human wisdom, it's divine wisdom. The book of Proverbs gives us God's wisdom mediated to us through human authors inspired by the Spirit of God to give us wisdom for life, to give us wisdom in all areas of life. And Proverbs is one of the most, if not the most practical book in the Bible. And so some of you more practical types will be especially drawn to Proverbs. Let's read a text here in chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 20 and go to verse 27. This is King Solomon. He wrote most of the Proverbs that you have in this book. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet. and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess this morning that we are so often foolish, and we so need your wisdom. And we know that begins by fearing you properly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And just as Solomon called his son to pay attention to his words, help us to pay attention to these words as your word to us today. And we pray this so that we would have the mind of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we ask this in his name. Amen. We're going to focus in on verse 23 today. It's a good one to memorize. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. So just as your physical well-being depends on the state of your physical heart, so your spiritual well-being depends on your inner life. The Hebrew word for heart occurs 46 times in the book of Proverbs. And scholars will point out that the heart is the most important concept in this book. And because Proverbs is a book of God's wisdom for life, and because the heart is mentioned so many times in Proverbs, we can conclude that to live wisely depends on your heart. And so when the proverb tells us, above all else, that means this is important. That means listen up. Above all else. Okay, there's many things that are important that you should be thinking about, but above all else, guard your heart. This is a priority. This ought to be a priority in your life. Now, we understand the importance of guarding what's valuable to us, right? We guard all kinds of things. We guard our passwords, or we just use one password for all 57 websites that we go to. We guard our PIN numbers, right? We guard our homes from break-ins. We lock them. We get security lights. We guard our vehicles by keeping them in the garage. And if all else fails, we get a big dog just to guard everything in case those other defenses fail. We guard our kids. We keep an eye on them at the playground. We keep an eye on them at the mall. Why? Because they are precious to us. But do we guard our hearts? Is this important to you? The reason we are to guard our hearts is because the heart is the source of life. And that means wherever the heart flows, your life goes. Kind of corny, but memorable. Wherever the heart flows, your life goes. And the heart can flow in all kinds of directions. It can flow toward what is good or what is evil, toward what is true or what is false, toward what is beautiful or what is ugly, toward what is wise or foolish. Our hearts can get us in a lot of trouble. Sometimes the trouble we get into has nothing to do with our hearts. We live in a broken world, bad things happen. But other times we find ourselves in a train wreck and we realize afterwards that our heart was driving the train. And the good news today is that God is a heart specialist. He is the expert on the heart. He gives heart transplants. He gives life to dead hearts. He softens hard hearts. He refreshes weary hearts. He heals broken hearts. He and he alone can change the human heart. I hope that encourages you this morning. Whatever state your heart is in, God can work with it. God can do incredible things. And yet, this proverb says that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to guard or keep watch over or to protect your own hearts. Kind of like if you were to have heart trouble and have to go for heart surgery, and the surgeon were to work on your heart and to repair your heart, and then afterwards you meet with him and he says, now I want you to make some changes. You've got to look after this heart that I've fixed. I want you to eat better. I want you to exercise. So you have a choice now on the way home, as you're driving home or as someone's driving you home from the hospital, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to go through the A&W drive-thru on the way home? Or are you going to go to Sobeys and pick up a salad, right? And you're like, I've got coupons for A&W. I've got to use those. You have choices to make. We have choices to make. God does this incredible work in our hearts, and yet we are called to do something. Three questions I want to answer. Number one, what is the heart? Number two, why guard it? Number three, how to guard it? Number one, what is the heart? Now, we tend to use the word heart to mean our emotions and the mind to refer to our thinking. But in Hebrew thought, the heart is all-encompassing. We know that the heart is really not where we think from. We think from the mind. We know that the heart is not technically where we feel from, although it feels like it when you get a broken heart. You feel something in here. But for the ancient Hebrew, heart refers to the core of your being from which all your thinking and feeling and acting flow. And so the proverb says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So just as a wellspring is an internal source of life-giving water, so the heart is the internal source of everything that you do. And so we could say it like this: the heart in Proverbs and in the Old Testament generally refers to the inner source of external behavior. It's what makes you think the way you do, feel the way you do, and act the way you do. For example, Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, as water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. So your heart reflects who you really are underneath all the masks, all the pretenses, all the personas that you try to project to others. And it's important to understand this, because we tend to define ourselves by what other people see on the outside and not what is really on the inside. We evaluate ourselves and others by our position, by our possessions, by what we have achieved, what we have obtained. God sees things differently. Where would you go in the scripture for that? 1 Samuel 16, 7. Remember when the prophet Samuel chose David to be king, and he looked at all the brothers, and there was one more that he hadn't seen yet. And Samuel says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Your heart is not only what drives you to think and feel and act the way you do, but it's who you truly are before the eyes of God. He's not fooled by external appearances. Now the second question, why? Why guard your heart? Well, three reasons why we need to guard them. First of all, our hearts direct us, and that's for better or for worse. The heart is like a wellspring of life, and this can be a life-giving spring, or it can be a toxic spring, right? What's inside of you could be like a clear bottle of Evian water or like sewage. When the water coming out of your tap is brown, it's not because there's something wrong with the faucet. There's something wrong deep down within in the pipes, and that's how it is with us. Jesus says it like this in Luke chapter 6, 45. He says, a good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And so if you have a problem with swearing, if you have what some call a potty mouth, it's not just a problem of language. It's not just a swearing problem. It's a heart problem. And yes, you should watch your language, but you need to look at your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. All of these things begin here, long before you do them in your life. The condition of your heart directs the course of your life, for better or for worse. Our hearts direct us. Second, our hearts can deceive us. Our hearts can deceive us. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Now, that is a countercultural message, is it not? I mean, we live in a world where we are told to just follow your heart. That is the prevailing theme around us in much of the entertainment that we watch and much of the current philosophy that we unconsciously adopt. Well, the Bible says something different, that your heart lies to you. We think of the four cardinal virtues: courage, justice, wisdom, moderation. In many ways, those have been replaced today by authenticity. And so what people aim for now is not that I would have a courageous heart or a just heart or a wise heart or a self-controlled heart, but rather an authentic heart. Meaning what I need to do is be authentic to what I truly am, what is in here, whatever's in here, that's what I need to accept, and that's what I need to live by. But the Bible says something so different, that your heart may deceive you. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart cannot be the highest authority in your life. And when we forget God, we follow our hearts as the highest authority, and that authority is so often untrustworthy. Our hearts direct us, our hearts can deceive us, and then the third reason we need to guard our hearts is that our hearts can fool us. Proverbs 22:15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Of course, foolishness is not limited to children. Okay, we see adult foolishness all around us, and often we see it in the mirror when we get up in the morning, okay? So, but we need to understand that whereas many psychologists claim that human beings are essentially born neutral, kind of like a blank slate, and then whatever influences them shapes them, no, the Bible has a different view, that we're actually born foolish, that we're born in sin. And yes, we are affected by the environment that we grow up in, but according to the Bible, we are born with hardwired, sinful, foolish tendencies. Don't forget that. And we don't grow out of it naturally. We need to be disciplined. We need to be taught. We need to be instructed. A foolish heart is like a broken compass. It just points in all kinds of directions. We need a compass that points to true north. Now, some of you are thinking, this is really negative. This is really negative. And if you brought your friend here to church for the first time, you may be thinking, man, your pastor is really a pessimist. You know, he is really a glass half full kind of guy. And that may be true in a sense, but I would argue that the Bible is saying this, not just me, the Bible is saying this about the human heart. Why? So that we would get depressed? No. So that we would despair? Yes. Yes, I think so. That the Bible wants to bring us to the point of despair, not to crush us, but to save us. That God wants us to get to the point where we say, I am helpless with this heart, that I need a heart transplant. That I need God, and God alone can fix what is so broken in me. And that's why I love what Ezekiel 36:26 says when God makes this promise of a new covenant. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Jesus Christ is the only hope for the human heart. That is good news. That is good news for people who recognize that they are helpless against their own heart. The bad news, friends, is that our hearts, untethered, will lead us to hell. Proverbs says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. But the good news is that the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life, had a perfect heart, died a sinner's death, rose again from the grave, and that he and he alone, because of what he has done for us, he can give us new hearts, new desires, new hopes, new impulses, new ambitions, everything new. You can become a new creation in Christ. And so many of you have become new creations in Jesus Christ. Again, not because of some work that you did, but the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. This is what it is to be born again, to be regenerated. It's to have a heart transplant performed by God Almighty. Jesus Christ, the one greater than Solomon, the one to whom Proverbs points us, is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he not only gives us a new heart when we repent and receive him, but he now teaches us wisdom in the heart. But we have a responsibility to guard this new heart that God has created in us through Jesus Christ for those who are believers in him. Which brings us to the third and final question. How should we guard our hearts? The proverb commands us to guard them, but it doesn't tell us how. For that, we're going to need to look to the rest of Proverbs and to the rest of Scripture. But there are a couple of clues in the text that help us practically in doing this. And in the Hebrew, as in English, you can use the word guard in two senses. You can guard what comes out, and you can guard what comes in. Do you follow what I'm saying? So there's a word here in Hebrew that means to guard from external attack, and there's another word here in the text that means having custody over, as in keeping a prisoner. So we are to guard defensively from certain things that will come in, but we're also to guard what is inside from getting out. And so, for example, in Genesis 41:10, Joseph was kept under guard as a prisoner. But in Nehemiah 4:22, Nehemiah's guard protected Jerusalem from attackers. And so in the first case, you guard something from getting out, the second from getting in, as I mentioned. And what this means is that you need to guard your heart in a few different ways. So here are three practical ways that we need to guard our hearts. First of all, guard the impulses of your heart. The impulses of your heart. Proverbs 7:25, this is a father writing to his son, and he's speaking about the dangers of the forbidden woman. He's speaking about the dangers of adultery, and he says, don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray onto her path. So you see that? Don't let your heart. That's guarding within. Okay, your heart wants to go there. You don't let it. You get tough with your heart. You don't let your heart kind of drag you around, you know, like a puppy dog going this direction, that. No, you're in charge. You're in charge of the heart. You don't let your heart turn aside. Instead, Solomon tells his son to fall in love with Lady Wisdom, so to speak. In fact, the same chapter of the text that we read this morning, chapter 4, verse 6, he says, don't abandon wisdom, and she refers to wisdom as a she. How appropriate for Mother's Day. Don't abandon wisdom, and she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. So young men, you ought to fall in love with Lady Wisdom. Develop a relationship with her, and she will honor you greatly in your life. Do you see, if your heart loves wisdom, then she will guard you. And if your heart loves wisdom, then your impulses will be informed and shaped by that wisdom. And so we've always got to remember that our impulses are not the highest authority. God's word is the highest authority. And so for the follower of Jesus, your goal is not to be authentic, but obedient. And it's in obedience that you will find yourself to authentically become the person that God wants you to be. So what do you do with those impulses that you know are wrong in your heart? Well, you confess them to God, as we learned in our study on 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we are promised in Jesus Christ. So we confess our sins. We confess the sinful impulses of our hearts. But then we ought to also pray for our hearts. How many of you regularly pray for your own heart? We pray about so many things in our lives. We pray and ask God for things, and we ask for different blessings. But do you ever pray about your heart directly? We see this in the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 80. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I may not be put to shame. Or Psalm 86, 11. Unite my heart to fear your name. That's a prayer. May my heart not be fragmented in all kinds of directions, running in all kinds of directions, but let it be united to fear you, O God. Or Psalm 119, 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. It's right there modeled for us in the Bible. If you don't pray for your own heart, it says a lot about your theology. It says that you have too high a view of your own heart and too low a view of your need for God's mercy to your own heart. Pray about your own heart. So guard the impulses of your heart. Second way, practically, to guard your heart, guard the influences on your heart. So impulses, second, influences. Guard the influences on your heart. So the impulses are those desires that flow out of you, but the influences are those things that are coming at you or into you. And so Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Those are influences from the outside. So remove from your life as much as possible those influences that lead your heart astray from God, and seek those influences that spark or kindle your love for God. We think of social media influencers. There's a name for this because so many have become sort of, you know, like a marketing tool of sorts. Famous people, celebrities who influence people on a vast scale make a lot of money doing so. And we understand that social media has many different influences on us, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be extremely cautious of that. We often don't realize how much entertainment influences us and shapes our thinking. And when we spend hours and hours on Netflix and Prime and Disney Plus and so forth, there are influences that are shaping us. And if you don't think so, you are naive. Right? And even sometimes as Christians, we think, if the content of that movie is acceptable, then it's fine, right? So there's no swearing, there's no sex, and like the violence is, you know, at a moderate level. And so, yeah, let's gather everyone for a family movie night. But what we don't realize is that some movies can be clean in terms of content, but can have a demonic worldview underneath that is shaping us. And so as parents, we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be talking to our kids about what they watch. We've got to be careful. This is one of the reasons why I appreciate websites like PluggedIn.com, right? When we're doing a family movie night, sometimes it takes as long to pick a movie as it does to watch a movie, right? It's like an hour to find a movie because everything nowadays is like full of garbage. It's like we have to find, well, let's just find something that was made in like the 1930s. Then we're good, right? Just been watching old movies. But yeah, some movies, some contemporary movies are good, but you've got to be careful. And so you go to PluggedIn.com and it'll tell you all the content. And then sometimes it'll get into worldview issues as well. But parents, we need to be thoughtful in these ways. We've got to train our kids to understand the messages that are coming and how they are influencing and shaping us. Movies, books, music, the lyrics of songs that we sing. This is why we sing in worship to God, because we know that music has a way of influencing us that mere words don't. We know we're called to preach the word. That's central to our gatherings, but probably a close second is our musical worship, because somehow it touches our emotions in a way that nothing else does. And so the songs that you listen to over and over again, they shape you for good or bad, either toward worship and thanksgiving to God or perhaps worship of something else. You've got to be aware of what we listen to and what we watch. Of course, we've got to be aware of the influences of teachers. And whether your kids are in public or private school, you should know what they're learning. You should know what they're hearing. For hours and hours a day, they're being shaped. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be talking at home about what's being learned at school. We're shaped and influenced by our friends, our peers. You know, someone said to me recently, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." Well, that's not in the Bible, but there's certainly some truth to it, isn't there? What is in the Bible is the proverb, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Our hearts are made differently, and what influences your heart for God may not be the same as what stokes my affection for God, but the main point is you need to pay attention to how your heart is influenced. And then third and finally, guard the instruction of your heart. Guard the instruction of your heart. Look back at the text we read in the beginning, starting at verse 20, chapter 4 of Proverbs. "My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Whose words are you listening to? Now, Solomon is speaking here to his son. Solomon was not a perfect man, and we know that when we read the whole story of his life, but he was wise. And sometimes, you know, he was wise, and yet he had to tell his son. I mean, Solomon was like the wisest man on earth at the time, one of the wisest men who'd ever lived, and yet he has to tell his son, "Hey, pay attention." I mean, if his own sons had to be told to pay attention to him, how much more do we need to be told to pay attention to our dads, right? They're not perfect, but they have things to say. They have wisdom to offer. Listen to your parents, kids. Listen to your dad and listen to your mom. And today, especially, honor your mom. Listen to your mother who gave you life. She has wisdom for you. Listen to her not just today, on Mother's Day, but every day. Listen to the Word of God. Refresh and renew your heart continually with biblical truth. It's a shield of faith that we use to extinguish the arrows of the evil one. And how does faith come? By hearing through the Word of Christ. And learn through actual human beings. You know, so much of what we learn now is on YouTube. And there are good things on YouTube, and there are very bad things on YouTube. But I would just encourage you to do what we're doing here. Gather with real people and read the Bible and talk about it. There's something so useful about it. We've got small groups, we've got more of them growing, and they're meeting it during the week, and they read the Bible, and they pray, and they discuss scripture together, and they learn from each other. We have these Sunday classes where we learn from each other, from real, breathing, living human beings. We rub off on each other. We encourage each other. We learn. Been meeting with about a dozen men on Wednesday mornings and just feeling how sharpened I am through that conversation. It doesn't happen when I'm just passively watching a video on YouTube. Read the Word, pray the Word, speak the Word, sing the Word, and then memorize it. Memorize the instruction of God's Word. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So guard the impulses of your heart. Guard the influences on your heart. Guard the instruction of your heart. Brothers and sisters, how's your heart this morning? In what state is your heart? Not just before others, but before God. Just as your physical well-being depends on the health of your physical heart, your spiritual well-being depends on the health of your inner life. It is the most important aspect of who you are. As the heart flows, so the life goes. And so, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, if there is one thing we understand from your word, it is that we need a new heart, and we thank you that in Christ you have given us that new heart. We do not hope in our hearts or ultimately trust in them. We hope in your heart for us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts, and we pray that you would help us to follow the impulses of your Spirit, that we would be influenced by the wise, that we would be instructed by your word. This is not something that we can do on our own. This is not something that we can produce, but it is only through Christ in us. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so help us to guard our hearts for his sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.